Hey everybody, this is Bubba Brinkman recording live from New York City. Climate change.
Bubba Brinkman is a Canadian rapper who writes lit hop or literature hip hop, a self-described nerdy rapper. He sings about bookish topics from evolution and medicine to climate change. I spoke with Bubba Brinkman on the line in New York about his latest album called A Rap Guide to Climate Chaos. I started off by asking him who his music is targeting.
I'm trying to cast the net as wide as I can in terms of my audience. I'd like to reach some people that don't think climate change is a problem and make them realize that it is and it needs to be addressed. And actually, I did this show off-Broadway in New York for 5 months earlier this year and performed for thousands of people who came to see it. And, you know, I did have people come up to me afterwards and say, I'm convinced. I came to this show thinking there was no problem, and now I realize there's a big problem. So that's definitely a big part of my audience. But then I think a lot of people come to the show or hear, you know, turn on the album, assuming that they're on board. And they're like, yeah, climate change is a problem and I'm dealing with it because I take shorter showers and I ride my bike to work and I change my light bulbs so that they're not incandescent. And, you know, part of the message of the album, which is counterintuitive to a lot of people, let's say on the left, who think they're already on board with the solution, is that that's not good enough. That's not even going to come close to solving the problem. And the only way that it can be solved is via sort of mass scale interventions like carbon taxes or cap and trade systems that change the entire economic incentive structure. So I'm advocating for people to be citizens more so than just consumers.
Your mama's carbon footprint is so fat.
That's a song called Battle Lines, and it's kind of like making fun of some of the contentiousness around this and how it's like really combative in the public discourse. So I relate that to like battle rap comparisons, you know, like the mismatches on either side are shocking. It's like Sarah Palin against Stephen Hawking, because I think the level of intellectual discourse can be pretty mismatched.
Your mama's carbon footprint is so fat. How fat is it? It's fatter than a herd of cattle's methane emissions. It's so fat it shows up on NASA's instruments. Your mama's carbon footprint is so fat when it happens, it melts whole glaciers and floods Manhattan. I'm kicking battle raps on climatic facts with consequences for human habitats like Drake and Meek Mill or Jay-Z and Nas, like a high-stakes version of Lil' Kim.
I've kind of created this formula over the years, so each of my records, the Rap Guide albums, is peer-reviewed by experts in the field. So as I'm devising the lyrics, I'm reaching out to scientists and the people who really study this stuff firsthand, and I'm saying, can you look at my lyrics? Can you tell me if there's anything that misconstrues the science, and if there's problems, I'll change it. So I'm soliciting feedback.
Why do you think music's such an effective medium to talk about such big issues like climate change?
Well, I feel like there's a memorability factor. Like, music is designed to be catchy and to get stuck in your head and get you singing along. And, you know, there's a lot of sort of lyrical witticism in there and punchlines and metaphors and, you know, just ways of thinking about climate change that we would be counterintuitive but are designed to be memorable. So I think, you know, that's just not my music. That's what all music is like. And I think rap music specifically is a storytelling medium, and stories are more memorable than just concepts. So I feel like the tools were already there. It's just that a lot of rap music is telling certain stories, like the stories of the individual rappers, like here's my neighborhood and here's where I come from and here's my aspirations and that kind of stuff. But a lot of it's very sort of strictly autobiographical. And, you know, I do some of that in the album as well and talk about my background and how that makes me interested in climate change. But then also the question of how do you get to be a suburban, white, middle-class Canadian that's a hip-hop artist rapping about science for the masses. That's kind of like part of my story. And I do make it personal in that kind of way. But I think just music is a medium for connecting with people, I guess emotionally, in a way that maybe a lecture can't do. But this rhythm and the music is my living. When I do it, I get paid. Yeah, it's been a decade since I've had a day job, and I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra. I'm just kicking up a racket. I could be at a university teaching classes, but this is more fun than teaching. Look at the people I'm reaching. Been around the world. I fly to Europe for the weekend, do a gig in California before I fly to New Zealand. I've got a song called Fossil Fuel Ballers, which is basically about, you know, in hip-hop there's this trope of like a baller is somebody that sort of ostentatiously flaunts their wealth, and in the context of recent human history, Western civilization could be said to be balling, to be sort of stunting, and like Western civilization is a bling heavy phenomenon, let's say, and fossil fuel is kind of really the driver of that. You know, it drives most of the economic growth, and global stock markets are still hugely tied to the oil price and things like that. So, you know, I'm an example of a fossil fuel baller, but I think so are you, and so are most of your listeners going to be, if their financial stability comes from the benefits of burning fossil fuels, which I think is the case with most people, because 80% of the global economy is driven by fossil fuels right now. And as for carbon emissions, I'm off the charts with it. Fossil fuel is how I got here, both to entertain you and in my career. If you're earning something, well then you're burning something. Prosperity is driven by internal combustion.
Where are you drawing inspiration from?
Well, I think it's mostly hip-hop. My musical influences are mostly rappers. And all throughout the album, I'm referencing a lot of my favorite rappers. You'll hear scratches and cuts from Jay-Z and Eminem and MC Light. And there's references to KRS-One and Nas and Mobb Deep and De La Soul. And, you know, my musical influences tend to be a little bit old school, like, you know, 90s and 2000s, and not so much to the rappers that are big today, but that's just, you know, I'm in my 30s. That's like the rap that I grew up on.
And what about Mo Carbon, Mo Problems?
Well, that is a paraphrase of a Notorious B.I.G. song called Mo Money, Mo Problems, which was a big hit in the 90s. And, you know, in that chorus, he said, the more money we talk about, the more problems we see. And really, carbon is a driver of climate change. It's the main driver of climate change, because both methane and CFCs and CO2, those are all sort of carbon-based greenhouse gases. And so carbon in the atmosphere is the summary problem that we have to overcome. And the more of it we have in the atmosphere, the more problems we end up with on Earth.
One song out of your entire album, which is your favorite and why?
Well, I think I would have to say the song Carbon Bubble, because Carbon Bubble is fun, bouncy. It's actually really a dance song. It's got a bit of like a Lily Allen or Amy Winehouse kind of flavor to it. I got an amazing soul singer named Mariella based here in New York to do the hook. And it's actually all about carbon finance models and how you can think of the carbon bubble concept as sort of like the subprime mortgage bubble of 2008 and how it crashed the global economy and potentially our reliance on fossil fuel and valuing the the fossil fuel reserves as part of a company's stock is actually a huge mistake financially and irresponsible, because if we really have to keep all that fossil fuel in the ground, then those companies are worth a lot less than what we think, and so are the economies based on those companies' values. So, you know, it's a sort of very nerdy, like policy wonk analysis of cap and trade versus carbon taxes versus business as usual from a financial perspective, but it's actually super fun, bouncy dance song, and it's got some great like saxophone and horn lines in it, and it's about as much like musical whimsy as you could imagine, mixing with as much policy complexity in the form of one song, and that's really what I'm all about.
I'm a businessman. I need a carbon price to handle my business. Damn.
What do you want your listeners to take away from your music?
Well, I don't know if I want them to be entirely persuaded and indoctrinated by everything I say, but I hope I give them a sense of curiosity and have provoked them to go look this up more and take more of an active interest. You know, I think if I can snap people out of apathy and make them feel like, yes, this matters, and yes, I need to get informed on it, then that'll be enough.
To reduce emissions, get paid, which is great, unless it's only big business, captain charge. That doesn't go far enough. What about tailpipes on cars? That's why some countries go with the carbon tax instead. A flat rate at the source, where the fuel gets extracted, and that's when clean energy gets a lot more competitive, and revenues get dividended back to regular citizens.